Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. The Reverend Doug Gribbenaw is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving, I was almost going to say my favorite holiday, which is Halloween, only because I can wear my Star Trek uniform and don't get weird looks, right? But my second favorite is Thanksgiving, aside, of course, from Christmas and Easter, right? I loved gathering over at my grandmother's house. And the kitchen was in the back, wrapped around the living room, the dining room, all on one level. You could smell everything. And I'd sneak in and I'd grab little spoonfuls of the jellied cranberry sauce. Still my favorite thing. And sitting down, the table in the kitchen connected to the dining room table, the whole of my extended family, because we all lived in Denver, many generations, and just passing food and sitting together. As I got older, I enjoyed cooking with my father and helping make that meal. For me, it was just a wonderful time to be with family. And as I matured, then that aspect, which really should be the central theme of thankfulness, of recognition of these gifts from God, not just the turkey, or the cranberry sauce, or even the roof over the head, the table, or even the grandmothers, the mothers, the fathers, brothers, cousins, aunts, uncles, all the lot. Really everything. Everything for which we should give thanks. And so in my later years, as I matured, I once read the proclamation that established Thanksgiving on the last Thursday in November each and every year. And that proclamation, continuing a long tradition of giving thanks here in North America, in the United States, that proclamation was made by President Abraham Lincoln in the midst of the Civil War. And I encourage you to read it because Lincoln was right. In the midst of this war, this chaos, this destruction, this lamentable loss, in the midst of what he called God's wrath and punishment for our sin, he gave thanks for that. And to give thanks for the peace that had endured with other nations, for the fields that had yielded their crops, for industry and commerce, for all those things that had yet been touched by the war. and encouraged us in thankfulness. I dare say even in Christian love, praying that the Lord would look with mercy upon the widows, the orphans, the injured, upon the peoples in this land. Thanksgiving for everything, for the good and the bad. For we should not shy away from discipline, but recognize, as Scripture tells us, that God is treating us as sons. For what son is there that his father does not discipline? And giving thankfulness for even the hard things. Because it's those hard things that will turn our eyes away from what is really our natural, that is our fallen inclination, to stare at our own navels, to stare at our feet and the things that we've gathered around us. This discipline pulls us up by the chin to behold the true inheritance we have in his Son, who has suffered and died for us to make us heirs of heaven, children of the Heavenly Father. For that alone we should give thanks each and every day. And in fact, before the reading that takes place here in St. Luke's Gospel, our Lord has been giving encouragement. Do not fear, do not fret about the things of this life. He even says, fear not, for you are worth more than many sparrows. And yet the Lord knows each and every one of them, knows every hair on your head. But in true fallen, human, old Adam fashion, like my children marching up the steps of the Supreme Court building in the United States to have them arbitrate a dispute about who gets the red iPad. Teacher, my brother, you should tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. He's looking to the earthly things, the things that can make the physical life easier, nicer. It's looking to the things that we so often confuse with God. And rightly so, our Lord says, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? The wonderful double entendre. He is indeed the judge and arbitrator of the greatest things. Not of the small, paltry, earthly inheritance that moth will eat at, that rust will destroy, but to give you a full inheritance, the fullness of heaven, the judge and arbitrator, the intercessor between man and God. And as a great physician of the soul, he brings that parable. Be on guard against all covetousness. Covetousness of the abundance of your possessions, of the things of this world. Because so often we do that. We look to wealth for security. We look to the things that we have gathered up to protect us from tomorrow, to carry us into the day. The rich man, right? The rich man says, oh, I have so much. A rich man who's already rich, a plenteous yield. He has many barns already. And instead of seeing that he has enough, he wants to have more, chasing after the possession. More and more, more security, more safety, more leisure. Relax, after he builds his bigger barns. Relax, my soul. You have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. What's interesting is that this man who's gathered these earthly possessions instead speaks to his own soul, confusing where we truly have our nourishment. Soul is set opposite of life, as our Lord has said. One's life, the fullness of your life, is not consist in the abundance of your possessions. And yet this man then speaks to his soul, I have enough. I have more than enough. This fool, this mindless one, conflates body and soul, as if earthly possessions can sustain the eternal soul. But then the Lord God in the parable speaks to the man. Speaks to the man and sets his eyes aright, or so we would hope. Fool, mindless one, this night your soul is required of you. In the Greek, the word is called back. The soul is his gift too. The life you have is his gift. And he gives it to each and every one. For the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The food and the bread at the table of the believer and the non-believer comes from the hand of God. Your soul is required of you. It is called back. All these things that you thought would sustain you forever, whose will they be? The Lord will distribute them. For they are not the rich man's, but alone from God, to give, be given and to serve in his good and gracious will. And that's really the heart of thanksgiving, then. All that we have, all that we are, is a gift of God, given to us, lent to us for a time, until he should call it back. Given to serve his good and gracious will. Given to honor him, for he is our Redeemer. He is our Father. Given to serve him, for as we have been loved, we too show love. In fact, we are the only ones who can, for we know what love is because of his love for us. And with so many blessings in this present age of science and technology, food and home and shelter, of entertainment, of diversion, of family. With so many blessings, let us give thanks and recognize they are his gifts, gifts to be shared. For what is it that makes both God and idol? It is faith. It is trust. And so we trust him. And we give thanks to him for the good and for the bad, knowing that all is gift and all is for our good. And so let us repent of our grumblings, but lift our chins and give thanks for him and for all his blessings. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.